Shabbat Shalom. Well, this Shabbat, we are entering Bamidbar, the wilderness. We have finished reading the earlier portions of the Israelites' circuitous journey through the wilderness of Egypt and of Shur, the land of Ishmael's descendants. All this time, the Israelites, often under the influence of the mixed multitude, have complained about the lack of provisions, food, and water, and of their desires to have more luxuries left behind in Egypt, what little there were there. Here we have followed a people who lacked trust in Adonai Elohim and pushed against his instructions until the ungrateful generation had passed on. These were not a people who were grateful for what Adonai gave them, but showed hearts hard with self-righteousness and self-centeredness. Adonai Elohim, our great God, our beloved Abba, King of the universe and the lover of our souls. Abba, I pray that the message that you have for us today will go to our hearts, and that the benefits of this message that you have proclaimed will be in having a heart filled with gratitude. Well, just in case you are bracing yourself for another feel-good message, one without substance or depth, rest assured this message will share with you some truly substantive truth, both from the word of Torah and from the application of Torah into the real world. First, I would like to share with you some recent scientific research, longitudinal studies into the many benefits accrued to people through developing an attitude of gratitude. Over the past decade, there have been in excess of 25 scientific studies, the benefits to human life through developing such an attitude of gratitude. As a former university researcher myself, I have often read research studies with a skeptical eye, knowing how much junk research exists from the pressure of publish or perish mentality among universities. And my reading of these studies was no different. One of the more convincing studies to come out of this line of research originated at the University of California at Berkeley. This $5.6 million study over a three-year period examined the effects of gratitude upon the human body and personality. The results are extremely interesting. But before we go there, let's spend a moment to understand how Scripture views gratitude. The psalmist in Psalm 118 clearly acknowledges Adonai Elohim created the day and advocates for gratitude for his creation as we read, "This is the day Adonai has made, a day for us to rejoice and be glad." Psalm 136 is focused on showing gratitude to Adonai for all his good works. Listen to the rhythmic quality of these few verses. "Give thanks to Adonai, for he is good, for his grace continues forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his grace continues forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his grace continues forever." In Psalm 50, we get a sense of one of the purposes of showing gratitude. "Whoever offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice honors me, and to him who goes the right way, I will show the salvation of God." Would you agree honoring our beloved Abba is sufficient reason to be grateful for his works of creation and his salvation? Would you give a resounding hallelujah to that? In the apostolic scriptures, Rav Shaul makes many an impassioned plea for all his disciples to show gratitude to Adonai Elohim. In 1 Thessalonians 5, we read, "In everything give thanks, for this is what God wants from you who are united with the Messiah Yeshua." And in James 1, we find the apostle giving us a reason to be grateful. "Every good act of giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father who made the heavenly lights. With him there is neither variation nor darkness caused by turning." Well, we know showing gratitude to Adonai Tzavaot is an act of worship, as we have read in both the Hebrew and apostolic scriptures. And for that reason alone, we ought to be showing gratitude for everything which occurs in our lives, whether we perceive it positive or negative. Now, as a former teacher, I know clearly that most learning occurs through mistake and error, not through success. And so it's probably with greater gratitude that we come to our fallings, our mistakes, our errors, than we give gratitude to our successes. Because we know from our mistakes and our failings, we will grow, we will learn. And it is to him and him only we show our gratitude. Showing gratitude to human beings is a form of idolatry unless we offer this to Adonai Elohim Tzavaot first. I'm not saying we should not thank those who do things for us or who give things to us in our hour of need. But when we offer gratitude to others as if they are our providers, we engage in idolatry. In Hosea 2, we get a clear picture of how Adonai Elohim views those who show their gratitude to others and not to him. The woman about whom Adonai Tzavaot is speaking in these passages represents his bride. "I will pursue my lovers who give me my food and water, wool, flax, olive oil, and wine. Therefore, I will block her way with thorns and put up a hedge so she can't find her paths. For she doesn't know it was I who gave her the grain, the wine, and the oil, I who increased her silver and gold, which they used for Baal." In Hebrew, the word for gratitude is sameach, which has a range of meaning from joy and gladness to thankfulness and gratitude. When we will say in a very few weeks, Chag Sameach Shavuot, we will be saying a happy festival of weeks, or the thankfulness and gratitude for the festival of weeks. The English word gratitude derives from the Old French and carries with it the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. This definition appears to be consistent across many dictionaries. Notice there are two parts to gratitude. The first being a feeling, thankfulness, and the other an action, showing appreciation and kindness. Like many such qualities, without the action, the feeling is hollow, having little or no substance. Our society is essentially sensual. That is, there is a predominant desire to feel good about ourselves and our endeavors, irrespective of the value of our efforts to ourselves or others. However, gratitude goes beyond sensation and includes action, giving to others. Does this surprise you? Did you consider gratitude, like faith and love, requires action before it becomes real? We may be grateful that is an emotion. However, in order for gratitude to be complete, it must be shown. A case in point emerges from the story of Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, the World War I hero. Here is Rickenbacker's story of gratitude as told by noted broadcaster Paul Harvey. It is gratitude that prompted an old man to visit an old broken pier on the eastern seacoast of Florida. Every Friday night until his death in 1973, he would return walking slowly and slightly stooped with a large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to this old man, and he would feed them from his bucket. Many years before, in October 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in a B-17 to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour which hurled Captain Eddie into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost beyond the reach of radio. Fuel ran dangerously low, so the men ditched their plane in the ocean. For nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions would fight the water and the weather and the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights recoiling as giant sharks rammed their rafts. The largest raft was 9 by 5, the biggest shark being 10 feet long. But of all their enemies at sea, one proved most formidable: starvation. 8 days out, their rations were long gone or destroyed by the salt water. It would take a miracle to sustain them, and a miracle occurred. In Captain Eddie's own words, Cherry, the B-17 pilot, Captain William Cherry, read the service that afternoon, and we finished with a prayer for deliverance and a hymn of praise. There was some talk, but it tapered off in the oppressive heat. With my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep out some of the glare, I dozed off. Something landed on my head. I knew that it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew, I just knew. Everybody else knew too. No one said a word, but I peered out from my hat brim, without moving my head. I could see the expression on their faces. They were staring at that gull. The gull meant food, if I could catch it. Rickenbacker caught the gull, its flesh was eaten, and its intestines were used for bait to catch fish. The survivors were sustained and their hopes renewed because a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land, offered itself as a sacrifice. And now you also know he never forgot. Because every Friday evening about sunset, on a lonely stretch along the eastern Florida seacoast, you could see an old man walking, white-haired, bushy-eyebrowed, slightly bent. His bucket filled with shrimp was to feed the gulls to remember the one which on a day long past gave itself without a struggle, like manna in the wilderness. How then do we show our gratitude? William Arthur Ward, a prolific writer of tracts and articles and the author of Fountains of Faith, wrote, "Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it." Here are some appropriate approaches to showing gratitude. telling others how their involvement with you has helped you grow. One of the more important needs human beings have is to believe we have made a difference. There is value in sharing with others how their behaviors, their teachings, their being have made a difference in our lives. Try sharing this with another person and notice their reaction. You have helped me grow and become a better person when you. But I caution you, this must be authentic, or the very statement may tarnish credibility if it is not authentically shared. Paying it forward. Has someone ever paid something forward for you? Have you felt gratitude because of that? I remember the first time I walked into a Tim Hortons counter and asked for a coffee. When I reached for my wallet, the clerk told me it was already paid. I asked who did this, and she replied, "Someone." Someone paid for my coffee, but she had no idea who it was. I was very curious and at the same time quite humbled and thankful for this gesture. I immediately gave the clerk a $5 bill to pay it forward. Even through that small gesture, I felt good. Really listen to someone when they talk with you. If you don't think authentic listening is not a display of gratitude, think again. This type of listening is called active listening because it requires active involvement when someone else is talking. When we give of ourselves to listen to others, we are showing gratitude first to Adonai Elohim and then to them. This is a selfless act. We are inviting them into our lives by listening without interrupting, as much as they are inviting us into their lives by sharing with us. Encouragement. Here is an action which carries great dividends. Encouragement affirms and validates others' actions, especially when they make a difference in the lives of others. However, it is essential the encouragement be authentic and not false. False encouragement will be seen clearly by the discerning and will destroy the credibility of the one giving. Offer assistance. When we give of ourselves to help others, the message we project is that they are worthy to us and worthy for us to share their work or task. Included in that understanding is that they are highly worthy to God, and God esteems them. This can open other doors for conversation and social and/or spiritual development. Now to the heart of the issue. How do we benefit through the action of showing gratitude? As I mentioned earlier, scientific research has discovered a link between displaying gratitude and physically and mentally healthy lives. The domains of these health benefits include our physical, emotional, and social health, as well as improvements in personality and career development. Today, I wish to share with you just a few of the many, many benefits of displaying the gratitude we feel for what Adonai Elohim has given us. Dr. Robert A. Emmons of the University of California, Davis, Dr. Michael E. McCullough of the University of Miami, and Dr. Martin E. F. Seligman, a psychologist at the University of Pennsylvania, have conducted much of the scientific research on gratitude and its impact on human health. Their studies have shown maintaining a gratitude journal, keeping track of the things for which we are grateful, demonstrated statistically significant increase in time spent in physical exercise, more sleep, and more importantly, increased quality of sleep. Significant decrease was observed in chronic physical pain and symptoms of health issues. When the researchers investigated the impact of people displaying the gratitude they felt, they found significant evidence in the emotional domain of human life, such as being more relaxed, less tense, less anxiety, greater resilience, and a greater degree of personal happiness. In the area of relationship health, the researchers discovered positive correlations between demonstrations of gratitude and stronger marriages, deeper relationships with others, and increased display of kindness to others. Studies into the correlation between gratitude and personality revealed evidence of significant ties to gratitude and a decreased emphasis on materialism, decreased self-centeredness, increased self-esteem, and the focus of this message, a deeper relationship with God. And remember, these are secular research studies. These are coming out of recognized universities. This is a new field of research that is gaining credibility in mainstream psychological research. Even though Jeremiah worked with Adonai for 40 years without a single sign of success, he was sustained, for the most part, by his gratitude for what El Shaddai gave him. Listen to the prophet's gratitude in Lamentations 3. "But in my mind I keep returning to something, something that gives me hope, that the grace of Adonai is not exhausted, that his compassion has not ended. On the contrary, they are new every morning. How great your faithfulness." If we began each new day in this way, what do you think might happen to our relationship with our beloved Abba? Would we feel closer to him if we acknowledged his grace was ever flowing, inexhaustible? I challenge you to begin each day recognizing his faithfulness in our lives and not to feel greater intimacy with the lover of our souls. And when you go to bed each night, try sharing with Abba the things for which you are grateful. Tell him how grateful you are for the people he put across your path this day, for the experiences you have had and for the learnings resulting from them, for the blessings you have recognized being bestowed upon you, and for the blessings you have received and not noticed. Having done that, I ask you to observe any difference in the quality of your sleep over time. In James 1, we read, "Having made his decision, he gave birth to us through a word that can be relied upon, in order that we should be kind of first fruits of all that he created." Reflect upon this passage and focus on the truth of his word. He made the decision of his own free will to create us through our Messiah, Yeshua. There was no hesitation to the decision he made. This was an act of love, in that we would have a relationship with him based on love. The result of his decision is that we are a first fruit of his creation. Rav Shaul infers this in Romans 8 when he writes, "I don't think the sufferings we are going through now are even worth compared to with the glory that will be revealed to us in the future. The creation waits eagerly for the sons of God to be revealed." Beloved, there is so much to gain through feeling grateful for what he has given us. and for actualizing our gratitude through showing kindness, generosity, love to others. I challenge you this day to one act of gratitude before you leave the synagogue, and then to share that gratitude with him tonight. I urge you to observe your acts of gratitude for the week and be able to report to Kehila their impact on your lives. For now, I invite a few of you to share your gratitude briefly with all of us. If you desire, please come forward and allow us to share in the blessings of how grateful you are.
Almost 3 years ago, I had problems with my condo. There was mold in it, and I needed to move out. I went across the street. I asked if there was a vacancy, and she said, "You should have asked, put your name on the list again after the first renovation went wrong." Well, I didn't know, so there was no possibility. I went back. I kept praying, and I said, "Lord, if you give me a place to rent, give it to me all the way on top, not facing the street." About a week later, I get a phone call from the same administration. She said, "Are you still interested in a place?" I said, "Of course I am." So I went there, and it was exactly what I had prayed for, on the top floor, not facing the road, across from my condo. So then she said, "But I have another one to show you." Yes, I'll make it short. "I have another one to show you." And I said, "No, I'm not interested." Well, I thought, no harm in looking. So when I looked at it, the living room was bigger, the storage was bigger, the price was the same, and so on. So thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yesterday, I came for 100th anniversary of Nelson McIntyre Collegiate, and I was a student there for a few years. And anyways, it was remarkable. I wanted to get there on time. I didn't want to be late. I left there at 11:30 yesterday morning from Ethelbert, Manitoba. Went to Dauphin, picked up a couple ladies who wanted a ride to Winnipeg, and then headed off to Niqua, to pick up something there, and then on my way, I had to have a nap for about 10 minutes, and then carried on to Winnipeg, dropped off the ladies in the north end, also picked up a few items for a friend in Garland, and then headed off for the Nelson McIntyre Collegiate, trying to get there for 5:30, and I was amazed. I arrived in the parking lot right exactly at 5:30. That was when the registration was to begin. And amazing. All those stops and that timing, 6 hours took me a trip. God must have been with me. It seemed like he held back the traffic just for me. It's really amazing. God bless God. Hallelujah.
Yeah, well, I got a... Yeah, it's got a thing that I was realized, you know, that you fight spirit of poverty, you know. I don't mind to be poor, you know, it's okay, but I wish I was rich. But, you know, the spirit of poverty, you know, been hanging around me since I was a kid. It's very demeaning. And, well, you know, I realized the other day that with God's help, you know, you could fight this, you know. I'm not fighting it on my own strength, eh? I'm fighting it with the help of God, because he says, "And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus." God is not God is not a cheap God. God is not chintzy, but he's got resources. He's unlimited, God of unlimited resource. Another thing, for 3 weeks I was wondering what it would be like if Nancy Sinatra was my mom. You know what? Saturday, May 10th, it's a couple of Saturdays ago, I felt her presence in my room for an hour, from 5 to 6. I don't have to wonder no more, praise God.
And we have time for one more.
I grew up, I love my father, I love my parents. My parents are still alive, thank God. My father was, as a man who grew up was parenting in the 50s, was a difficult man, but a fair man. I can remember when I was 10 years old that I was having a particularly frustrating time with him, and I had no one to turn to, so I went to my swing and I was swinging, and that's where, I may have shared this before, and that's where God spoke to me and he said, thank me, and I was going, thank you for what? And he said, thank me. And so I thought, well, there must be some, I'm frustrated, so maybe I'll thank him for how I feel. So I said, I thank you that I'm feeling so frustrated. And then I said, okay, well, I thank you that my father makes me so frustrated. And the more that I thanked him, the more joyful I began to feel. And that's been a lifelong lesson of learning how to be thankful. The reason why I'm sharing it today is because my father and I came to Christ when I was 17, and my father and my family saw such a change in me that they also came to Christ around the same time. And fast forward, I mean, I've had a lifetime of relationship with my family, and we've grown and come to know each other. My father was baptized in the Spirit, but it was, I've had years where I would share things with him, but when you're sharing spiritual things, you can hear when it doesn't quite go in. And so the things I shared didn't quite go in. But I'd say about a year ago, all of a sudden there was a change in my father. He actually was diagnosed with cancer of the colon and went through surgery for that. And as a result, I can see that he was grateful for what happened to him, that he survived. And I noticed a change. So now, every Sunday, I am able to call my father. He doesn't live here in the province. I call him, and we have such a blessed time. And I know that when I say things to him, it is going in, and his spirit is receiving it, and he is hearing it. And it gives me such joy to know that this man is still alive today, and he is part of the reason how I learned how to be thankful, and I now am able to thank my God the Father to give me not only this man who now truly walks in the Spirit and understands what it's like to walk in the Spirit, but we can have sweet fellowship as brothers and sisters in Christ, and it is so marvelous, and I thank God for that. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And noticing that Yvonne stood up and wanted to come, Yvonne, come.
Yeah, I've been missing a few Saturday mornings because we're dealing with my mother moving to a PCH, and they're in the process of selling her house and everything, so there's all these politics surrounding the family. But with all the conflict and the confrontations with the family and all that, I just have to say that I so look forward to coming here Saturday morning with my spiritual family. And I thank God for this spiritual family here. And it's just a great comfort to me, and I thank God for this.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let us end today's message in prayer, giving giving thankfulness to our God for all that he has done for us. And Abba, I pray that each one of us will increase our acts of gratitude, that we will bestow our blessings that you have given to us onto others, that for which we are grateful, we show others. We provide for them with our thankfulness, without any sense of self-righteousness, without any sense of self-centeredness, that it is to honor you that we show our gratitude to you first, and then to give our thanks and show our kindnesses to others. For that is how we honor you, that is how we worship you. In your beloved name we pray. Amen.